I'm sorry I haven't a clue. The antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us once again at the Everyman Theatre in Cheltenham, where we've attracted a capacity audience of some 700 odd people. It's here in Cheltenham that racegoers gather every March to enjoy the Gold Cup, which I understand is run over hurdles by four-year-old Arabs. A mere stone's throw away is the world-famous Cheltenham Ladies' College, where the mother of our own Tim Brooke Taylor actually taught gym for several years, before noticing the little chap had enrolled at the wrong school. And excelling as the college does in the tutelage of well-bred young ladies, there are many who would desperately like to gain entrance. Let me introduce four of them. They are on my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. Hello. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And please welcome the lady with a keen eye to note who's furthest out in front, the delightful Samantha. Our first round is entitled Ancient Radio Times. Flicking through some old magazines the other day, I came across an edition of the Radio Times dated 500 BC. As the doctor was ready to see me, I was sadly unable to read it. But from the front cover, I could tell it was a special ancient Greek edition. So, teams, I'd like you to suggest, please, some titles of TV and radio programs likely to have been listed inside. And, Willie, will you start, please?
The Hammer House of Horace.
Theseus, your life?
David Jason and the Argonauts, it only fools and wooden horses.
Menelaus behaving badly.
Oedipus, blind date, starring Scylla and Charybdis.
Homer and away.
Hector's house.
Takes you back, doesn't it?
How do they do that? Juno? They think it's all of it.
Educating Archimedes.
For some of you older listeners.
I was going to mention Aeneid Blyton, but I couldn't bring myself to do it.
It's the 9 o'clock Zeus and Medusa at 10.
Another chance to see Monty Parthenon, starring John Cleese, Androcles, and Pericles.
Now, that's going back on an equally old show, The Goddies with Bill Odysseus. Wish You Were Hera?
This Morning with Castor and Pollux.
And now over to the Wembley Arena for the third day of the Elgin Marbles.
Also, midweek Socrates from Wembley. Wooden horse jumping from Hickstead. And our cricketers on their minor tour of Zimbabwe.
Film 450 BC with Barry Gorgon.
Featuring Acropolis Now.
And the Sirens of the Lambs.
I've got to interrupt this flow of inspiration. Because we have a second round, and it's a musical round called Pickup Song, in which the teams will sing along to some popular recordings. DJ Samantha is poised at the gramophone with a selection of discs. At a given point, she'll cause the modulated frequency wave of the recorded sound signal to reduce to zero by a process known as turning the volume down. And I defy you to find a double entendre in that. If when the disc returns, teams, you're within a... the Guardian sub-editor wrote this. It says a giant's crotchet. If when the disc returns, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. Oh, dear. I've got to give this up. I'm becoming a control freak. This week's prize comes from the Findus Dermatology Convenience Range. It's this boil in a bag. Okay, Barry, I'd like you to start by accompanying Chuck Berry singing No Particular Place to Go.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio, with no particular place to go.
He's over 60 now, you know.
Riding along my automobile, was anxious to tell her the way I feel.
He wasn't at the beginning.
Whispered in my ear, cuddling more and driving slow, with no particular place to go. Oh,
it was John's crotchet after all. Your turn, Willie. I'd like you to accompany Adam Faith singing What Do You Want?
What do you want if you don't want money? What do you want if you don't want gold? Say what you want and I'll give it to you, darling. Wish you wanted my love, baby. What do you want if you don't want ermine? What do you want if you don't want pearls? Say what you want and I'll give it you, darling. Wish you wanted my love, baby. Well, I'm offering you this heart of mine, but all you do is play it cool. What do you want? Oh, boy, you're making a fool of me. Oh, one of these days, you need my kissing. One of these days. Ah. He's slowing down as the years go by.
Your turn, Graham. Would you please accompany Ben E. King singing Stand By Me?
When the night has come and the land,
and the land
keep up is on, and the moon is the only light that we can see.
Don't drop it out.
No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. It's the sky we look upon.
Finally, Tim, would you please accompany Blur singing Country House?
Batman. So the story begins.
city dweller, successful fella, thought to himself, oops, I've got a lot of money, caught in a rat race, terminally. I'm a professional cynic, but my heart's not in it. I'm paying the price of living life at the legal limit. Caught in the centuries, anxiety. Yes, it preys on him, preys on him. He's getting thin. So he lives in a house, a very big house in the country, watching afternoon repeats and the food he eats in the country.
Well, we don't have to ask who won that one. Wasn't any of these fault. Moving on, we come to a new round called Salesman of the Century, which has nothing to do with Nicholas Parsons. But then who does? In it, I'd like the team members to take the roles of long-forgotten characters from history. Not my acting in that bit. They'll have to deal with a visit from two door-to-door salesmen trying to sell them something they never knew that they needed. Okay, Tim and Willie, I'd like you to assume the identity of Mr. and Mrs. Noah. And Barry and Graham, you can be door-to-door salesmen selling dusters.
Bing bong. Sorry, I was downstairs checking the fish.
You met Mrs. Noah, have you?
Morning.
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 Morning. We're on a scheme. we got card. Here's my card. You can see it's got a picture of somebody on it. And we wondered if we could sell you any dusters at all.
No, thank you.
Well, we don't just have dusters.
Oh, no, we've got oven gloves.
Yeah.
By the brace.
What? Mop heads.
What use?
Lovable mop heads we've got.
People keep thinking we say mopeds. We have to clarify. We have to clarify that. Lovely garden you've got. Never seen one on an ark before.
What use would they be to us, though?
Well, a mess. I mean, let's... I don't want to be too indelicate, but...
You just have been.
But you have a lot of clearing up to do after your animals. Twice as much as if you only had one of each.
We've got sponges and chamois.
We've got a nice chamois. We've got two nice chamois. If you're short.
We use the hedgehogs. You can buff something up lovely with a hedgehog.
Yeah, we've got some nice lemon cleaning liquid. You'll have the cleanest lemons on the seven seas.
Those elephants must be a trial.
And
Japheth handles the elephants.
Who does?
Well, that's we'd rather an offense, isn't it?
We'd rather not talk about it.
He must be very tall.
He stands on a giraffe. It's.
You need stocking up. It's going to be a long time to Ararat.
40 days and 40 nights. We've got the timetable.
Well, there's points failure at Peterborough.
No, thank you.
Squeegee.
Right, Barry and Graham, it's your turn. I'd like you to assume the role of Mr. and Mrs. Genghis Khan. Tim and Willie, I'd like you to be the salesman, this time selling desk tidies.
Bing bong.
Hello.
Would that be Mr. or Mrs. Khan I'm speaking to?
You sounded like a salesman in another life.
used to be, before I went in for the pillaging and raping. Genghis, and this is the good lady Madge.
Hello.
Well, I think it's you, Mr. Genghis, who'll be more interested in the desk tidy than your good lady, because in your line of business, pillaging and raping and looting, I mean, you would find it a boon to be able to put your hands on your paper clips without unnecessary bother, I'd imagine.
The little woman, Madge, God bless her, she looks after my study and yeah, that, tidying
that's,
items.
That's right, Genge.
Well,
do use spears at all? Because we have the Acme pencil sharpener as part of our... And the sellotape, you can cover up all sorts of...
all sellotape?
What sellotape do then, you silver-tongued charmer?
She's taking a fancy to you, Reg. You could be in her beard in seconds.
They haven't grabbed us yet, have they, Madge?
No.
Oh, well, off to another house then.
Our next round is called Notes and Queries. Glancing in my copy of The Guardian the other day, Teams, I was pleased to read an interesting question and answer section which they call Snots and Queasy. So with this in mind, I'd like you please to pool your considerable knowledge and to provide answers to the following niggling little questions. Graham, you first. Do animals or birds ever refer to each other by name?
Well, yes, but only if they're called Woof, Meow, or Moo.
Well, the answer is no, but some are able to recognize one another. And I know how they do it, the disgusting creatures. Tim, why should you never put ripe bananas next to cut flowers?
Because they stick out like sore thumbs. Thank you, sir.
I'll tell you why, because it's interesting. Ripe bananas give off a special gas, ethene. It's called ethene or ethene, which speeds up the ripening in other fruit and vegetation.
Gosh.
Willie, why do the clergy wear dog collars?
Why does the Archbishop of Canterbury worry sheep?
The boring answer is that a visiting Roman Catholic order first wore them in the 1840s, and the look caught on. Barry, what's the best thing to do if attacked by an aggressive dog?
Fake an orgasm.
Well, the answer, believe it or not, is you attempt to force its legs apart sideways.
Whatever works for you, huh? And then make a wish.
Excuse me, sir, what are you doing with that dog?
Make a wish.
No wonder it's foaming at the mouth.
Don't you want to know why?
Yes.
We're a gog.
Well, it pulls apart the ribs and causes breathing difficulties.
Oh, dear. I preferred mine, actually.
Okay, here are some more for anyone to answer. Do giraffes take special precautions during thunderstorms?
Yes. They dash down to the chemist and buy an enormous packet of three.
The official answer is no. Why are eggs egg-shaped?
Never mind that. How do hens know the size of egg cup?
Well, the actual answer is that the curve provides the strongest resistance to outside forces.
What outside?
Why do men always do the cooking at barbecues?
Because women, bless them, are absolutely incapable of burning meat properly.
Well, the answer is that it's been suggested that it revives their caveman instincts. Is it true that cows sitting down is a portent of rain?
Possibly, but it's not as reliable a portent as a pharmacy full of giraffes.
Well, for those who are ever tempted to get into the field and make the cows stand up, I have to tell you the answer is no. It's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. I notice from my in tray that we've received literally a postcard from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales, who sends her observations on Euro 96, and she writes, "Dear Acker, hats off to the boy Gascoigne. He's done good. If the BBC had any sense, he'd be back chairing University Challenge." Instead of that Jeremy Beadle. Yours sincerely, Mrs. Trellis. On with the game now, which this week pits the team's wits against the new Garry Gasparov Pentium computer program. As this works on a five-move cycle, I will interrupt after every fourth move with the computer's choice. Understood?
Yep.
I'm glad somebody does. Okay, Tim, will you start us off, please?
Platts Lane.
Priory Road.
Old Compton Street. This sounded good. Yeah, it was. I'm surprised you didn't notice that, how good it was.
Empire Way.
Well, the computer comes in now with Moscow Road.
Moscow Road. Lavender Hill.
Kildare Terrace.
Euston Road.
Arnos Grove.
Ah. And the computer in again with Vulgar Street.
Archway.
Would that be the Vulgar Street in E11 or in Wimbledon?
Well, both, as far as I know.
All right.
Pembridge Villas.
You're not a discerning audience, are you? How well do you know this game?
Better than the computer so far.
Queensway. Thank you. A little pocket of knowledgeable persons.
Barrett. No.
Some of them with their teeth in. Did you notice?
Earls.
Not their own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are they conferring, Hump?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
The audience.
So not barons, but Earl's Court.
Yeah.
Earl's Court.
And the computer's come up with St. Peter's Square.
I suppose you can reverse.
Hammersmith Bound.
Yes. Yes, quite right. It's Lonsdale Road.
But Talgarth Road.
I think, Willie, you've got him.
I think so.
What, Talgarth?
No.
Mornington Crescent. Yeah.
Adjudication, Hump, please.
Well, I don't know.
Fair enough.
If we go into all that...
I think we accept that.
If we go into all that, we'll be here all night, so... Now time for a round of limericks, the five-line nonsense poems loved by literally tens of people. Teams, I shall furnish you each with a first line rich in poetic possibility, which I'd like you to continue taking one line each, please. Tim. For a laugh, I dressed up as a bee...
For a laugh, I dressed up as a bee. Blame Anthea Turner, not me.
She was dressed as a rose.
But I'm not into those.
So I stung the poor cow on the knee.
Barry, here's one for you. I once had a fully trained moth.
Trained, strangely enough, for the cloth.
He did one loop the loop.
From pulpit to soup.
Garçon, there's a priest in my broth.
Right, Barry, here's yours. As a child, I was troubled by nits.
Which I caught when we stayed at the Ritz.
We moved to the Savoy.
Where a rogue Savoy.
Leapt up and thrilled Granny to bits.
We've now reached the point in the show that nobody's been waiting for. It's time for the teams to announce the late arrivals at the Cheesemaker's Ball. So while Samantha nips out to enjoy a mouthful of Leicester, I'd like... I'd like you, Willie, to start us off, please.
The Forts and their son, Rock.
The mother and father of all Italian cheeses, Mar and Parmesan. Welcome.
Mr. and Mrs. Zola and their son, Emil.
Yes, and Willie, welcome, please. Mr. and Mrs. Shire and their tall, thin son, Lanky Shire.
Please silence and grovel a bit for the family. Ooh.
Ooh.
And their daughter, poor Sal.
And from Yorkshire... Oh, they've gone. Damn. It's cabaret time.
No. Oh, good heavens. Is that the time?
With a tribute to Mozzarella Fitzgerald. And Miss Muffet's going to do a strip while eating curds. Why?
There's and from the West Country, will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Hershey's and their son, Jed Hershey's. Not to mention Farmer and Mrs. Brown and their ploughman, Zlunch. Old biblical name.
Also in the cabaret, Stilton John will be playing the Harry Limesworld theme.
Will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Jones and their aggressive son who swears a lot, Blue Vinny?
always pleasant to welcome the Scream Crackers and their son Jacob.
Duke and Duchess of Gloucester have come in together? Oh, yes, the double Gloucesters.
Let me give you a toastie. Must say this carefully. My old Dutch. Thank you. Your hats and goats, cheese.
Well, here's a funny thing.
About bloody time.
They can't see it at home, huh?
No, I see that the scores... Now, listen to this, because it is interesting. Because the scores are even.
Oh.
Which means that not only have we had an excitingly close contest, but also that the last half hour has been a complete waste of time. So, teams, we'll have to play the tie-break. I'd like you, please, using only your skill and judgment, to complete the following sentence in the most apt or amusing way. The National Lottery makes me feel like a millionaire because...
I'm a director of Camelot.
That'll do. Well, as the delicate mayfly of time collides with the speeding windscreen of fate, and the angry wasp of destiny flies up the trouser leg of despair, I notice it must be the end of the program, and indeed the series. We'll be back again in the autumn, but in the meantime, from the team, Samantha, myself, and the fine people of Cheltenham, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tim Brooke-Taylor, Barry Trier, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.
You can't wait till the autumn to hear from Humph and the teams. You may be interested to know that some of the funniest moments from the recent history of the programme have been specially preserved for posterity on two audio cassettes as part of the BBC Radio Collection. And they are available now from good book and record shops.